Thank you, Judy. I appreciate your help today. Oh, I am excited. I'm nervous because you're adults and you're scarier than my teenagers are, if I can be honest. But I don't think I see a whole bunch of new faces today, but maybe there's somebody watching on the live stream that doesn't know me. My name is Whitney Banks. I have worked here for 15 years in May. That's crazy. Yeah. And I really enjoy what I get to do for the Lord and how I get to partner with you all to bring his kingdom and just the creativity that that I get to, you know, do what I do. And it's a lot of fun, and we've seen a lot of fruit, I think, over the years. I've been married 9 years in June, which is crazy also. Why does time go so fast? I have two handsome boys, Nolan and Miles, and I get to minister to moms. I get to minister to youth now. Hey, youth, where are you? Let me hear you. I'm learning all their language. They say things like bet and sus and what riz. Yes, thank you. All kinds of other things that I had to look up, you know, later. And of course, I get to minister to my own kids, which is such a blessing to be a mom, for Chris to be a dad, and for us to have influence over our children's lives. I want to tell you a story real quick about Miles. Miles just turned 5 in February, at the beginning of the month, and he had a question for me after I picked him up from preschool one day, and I guess he was good or something that day. Oh, I know. The teacher pulled me aside and said, Miles is such a sweetheart. He's patient. There's some foster kids in his preschool, and they're a little rough. And she said, he is just so patient with them. He's so kind. And I'm like, oh, you know, good job, buddy. Well, he said, he took advantage of my, you know, my proud moment and was like, can we go get a toy? So he knows. He knows he did good. And he's like, can we get a toy? And I explained to him, I'm like, well, buddy, you know, life's not all about toys, and you can't really take toys with you to heaven someday. Well, he pondered that thought for just a moment and was like, well, can I take them to the other place? So we had to have a little talk about heaven and hell and what they're like. And it was just so funny. But all that to say, it's a process, isn't it? Like, we don't know it all, and it has to be revealed. And God uses people to reveal it, and he uses his word to reveal it. It's a journey, and I was thinking about this journey that we're on. Amazing Grace, I was thinking about the song and how it ends with, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And I think we get so excited about that initial transformation of salvation and like the before and the after, and we forget about the little changes and the little adjustments that should take place our whole life through after that. And I got glasses in the third grade. I don't know about you guys. How many of you were born with so great eyesight? In the third grade, I got glasses. And, you know, what a difference it made. I remember getting headaches and, you know, just squinting to see the chalkboard, that kind of a thing. So that was the initial transformation, was getting those glasses. But I've been on a journey since then. I have had glasses. I have had hard contacts. Anybody else had hard contacts? Those are horrible. I would never go back. I think my mom still wears them, but I would never go back to hard contacts. I have had soft contacts. I just changed my soft contacts out today. It's made quite the difference. But how many of you know, you know, I've moved on from that third grade experience, and I've had to go back and and the doctors made adjustments to my prescriptions. I've had to go back and get checkups. And, you know, I just want to tell a quick little story. One time when I was living on my own, I had a cat. And before I had put my glasses on for the day, I thought I was talking to my cat, but I was actually talking to a sweatshirt on the floor. So my eyesight is not the best. Yeah. So I've had checkups over the years, and, you know, I think most of you have, but you lean your head forward in that little chin rest, and they put that thing, I don't know all the words, but they put that thing up to your eyes, and they ask you that question. There's so much pressure in it. Is this better, or is this worse? One or two? Three or four? And it's like, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing, you know, because that would impact me. But that is what I felt like God wanted us to do today, is just have a checkup. Maybe you got saved 5 years ago, maybe you got saved 50 years ago, but I think that we should not stop making adjustments on our journey, because like Miles, we don't know it all, and then there's a progression to be had. So we're talking today about a sanctification checkup. Why? Because if you want to change the world, you have to be changed first. I really believe that. And if you don't want to change the world, that needs to change, because we have a world that is dying and has no knowledge of God, no knowledge of his plan for them. So we need to be ready to share the gospel, to bring the kingdom wherever we go, that we need to be changed first. So just moving along, the sanctification definition that I found. How many of you just thought sanctification was about holiness? I don't know. I kind of thought like sanctification is holiness. But as I've been digging this week, I'll tell you what, I'm like amazed at what God has shown me in his word. About it's so much more than that. It's so much more than just being holy, even though that's a part of it. So sanctification is a process by which believers are set apart for God's purposes and transformed into the likeness of Christ, rooted in the truth of God's word. This process is ongoing and involves both divine grace and human responsibility. I love that part, because it's not all God, right? And it's not all us. It's a partnership. It's a yielding to what he has for us, but he's the one that does the work. I admittedly am a firstborn child, a recovering people pleaser. In my life, I have tried. I have strived. I have tried to be good enough. I've tried to make everyone happy. Guess what? It doesn't work. It really doesn't work. I'm not ice cream. I can't make everyone happy. That is religion, right? When you're striving and you're trying in your own strength to be good enough and to be holy and to make, you know, that's religion. And I have been there before, and I don't want that anymore. But true sanctification is the Spirit's work. It's the Spirit's work. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And Robin Joyce explained this to Linus League a few years ago, and it has always stuck with me. Those aren't the goals: to have love, to have joy, to have peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those aren't the goals. Those are byproducts of being with Jesus. Those are byproducts of being Spirit-led and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And she said, as she was teaching about this, that that's what brings effortless change. Because if you're striving to have patience and you're striving to love and you're striving to do this, you'll never do it on your own. But if you just simply abide in Christ, it's effortless. It becomes easy. You just automatically produce those things, right? Amen. Talk to me a little bit. I'm liking this. It is more effortless that way. And they're just byproducts of a life led by the Holy Spirit. I love the scripture in Romans 11:16, it says, if the root is holy, so are the branches. Love that. That is so powerful. It's not my righteousness. It's not my holiness. It's simply a connection to him that produces these things in me and in you. So Holy Spirit is the one who changes us, but it's our responsibility to yield ourselves to the conviction and to the change. Amen? So that's what I mean by divine grace and human responsibility. It takes both. So the first point that I'd like to make is sanctification is holiness. This is part of what we were talking about in the beginning. It's not just holiness, but it is holiness. And people don't like to talk about holiness anymore. But in fact, it's a part of becoming like Christ. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, Jesus talks about anger, divorce, lust, oaths, retaliation, but it ends with this thought in his sermon. Matthew 5:48 says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then in Hebrews 10:14, it says, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. What does that mean? Those who are allowing themselves to be in this process are perfected by his single offering. Beautiful. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Is he here yet? No. So, like, he hasn't come back for the second time. So he's still carrying it out in all of us, or he should be. So although perfect is an intimidating word, I looked at the Greek word for perfect or complete, and it's the Greek word is teleos, and it means spiritual maturity or completeness, not sinlessness, implying that a striving for wholeness and righteousness is required, but not an absence of flaws. How many of you have read your Bible and said, oh my gosh, like, God used them? Like, look at King David and this and that. It's not that you need an absence of flaws. It's you're spiritually mature and you're complete in Christ. And that was kind of mind-blowing for me, that teleos. Another definition of that is it achieves its purpose. You can't do that without God being a part of it. You can't really achieve your purpose. So I can't really think of anything more mature than recognizing that you still have a ways to go, that there's still a process that needs to be walked out. You aren't finished, right? And he's not finished with us. That's spiritual maturity. No matter how long you've been saved, it is a lifelong commitment. It is a continual refining. And I find that in myself, there's sometimes a pride that denies God his place to do that. And that should not be. God was showing me some, like, pictures. And I just think it's amazing how God set up today's service, the worship, and Judy, what she prayed. Like, those are all, they all said things that I'm like, oh, that was in what God had, what God gave me today. But God was showing me we are like pieces of pottery who walk off the wheel. We think that we're done. We think that we've arrived, or we think that we, because we've been saved for this amount of time, that there's not some rough edges still. We are so wrong. We need to let him do what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. Or what about this? Maybe this has happened to you. This would make my husband really sad. We are like a plate that the waitress takes away before you're finished. That is a sad day, right? There's still a few French fries or whatever. And what do you say when that happens? I was still working on that. I was still working on that. And that's what God is saying to us, people. He's saying, I still have work to do in you. And we're not letting him finish or complete or bring that teleos to our lives. And just a reminder, the standard is not our brothers and sisters in Christ. We could look at so-and-so's life or, you know, such-and-such's life and be like, well, I'm further along than they are. At least I'm not struggling with this. At least I'm not struggling with that. May I remind you, the standard is not us. The standard is Jesus, and he is holy, and he is perfect. And we all fall short. We all fall short. So let him keep working on you. When we get a glimpse of his holiness, that stagnancy and that complacency cannot exist. Even if your heart's making small movements, frail movements towards the Lord, those are movements, right? And all of a sudden, it's not how much can I get away with? It's how can I live a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-led life? How can I achieve my purpose, my teleos? How can I be mature? How can I lack nothing? Amen? That's what it's about. But sin is a part of this. James 1:4 says, I like this Message version that I read. It says, lust or evil desires get pregnant and have a baby, sin. And sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. How many of you have experienced that, even just in your own life? Like, it's like, oh, it's not that big of a problem. My kids like the VeggieTales movie or book about the rumor weed, and he starts small. Or what is it, the rumor weed? I think it's something like that. And he starts small, but then, like, as he continues to allow it to grow, it becomes a real killer. And that's how sin is. Don't give it a place in your life. Don't give it even a tiny place in your life. But also don't try and defeat it yourself, because Jesus Christ went to the cross. He rose again. He sent his precious and powerful, powerful Holy Spirit to help you. Let him do it and give him that permission. Give him that access in your life. And I came across this quote. I love this quote. Repentance is not when you cry. Repentance is when you change. I love that, because there's that human responsibility that says, I cannot go this way any longer. I have to turn. I have to go the other way. But then there's the Spirit's part of it, and that's the bigger part, honestly, that helps us and sanctifies us and helps us change, because he's holy, because we're connected to him. If the root is holy, so are the branches. Love that. So sanctification is holiness, but it is so much more than that. Sanctification is a yielded life. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17, we read about the rich young ruler. And it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack. And in the Greek, it says that same word, teleos. It says, if you want to become teleos, complete, spiritually mature, achieving your purpose, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad. Other versions say he went away dismayed. He went away grieving, is what another version says, because he had great wealth. You know, a lot of people who encountered Jesus in the Bible, they went away happy. They were saved. They were delivered. They were healed. They were freed, loved, protected, fed. Joe, fed? Forgiven, but not this man. Not this man. He went away sad. Sad because he didn't want to change, right? When we look at this passage, I think a lot of times we skim over it and we're like, oh, you know, that doesn't really apply to me. I'm not rich. I don't have great wealth, that kind of a thing. But as God was speaking to me, this passage is not so much about money as it is about unsurrendered aspects of your life, which we all have, if we're being honest. So we can read this and apply it to our own lives and say, what would make me sad? What would make me dismayed or grieved if God asked me to give it up? It's just an unsurrendered aspect of your life. John 15, 1 through 4 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it would be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And I was thinking about this. Remaining in him means no compartmentalizing your life. I think we do that. I think there's a Sunday morning version of us, and I think there's a rest of the week version of us. And we might be a little more surrendered and a little more, you know, refined on Sunday, but it is an uncompartmentalized kind of life that God wants for you, where he's Lord of every single aspect. Everything is yielded. He rules it all. Your habits, your relationships, your thought life, your money, your time, everything is yielded. Amen? No more compartmentalizing. Matthew 6:33, I love this verse. Seek first the kingdom of God, or this NLT version says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Amen. So, you know, we don't laugh off sin. We don't sugarcoat sin. Sin is wrongdoing. It offends God. But we also read in James 4:17 that if anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them. I mean, that's something. It's not just the wrongdoing. It's if you know what's good and you know what God's called you to and you don't do it. That's sin for you. So it all just boils down to obedience. If he says to do something, do it. If he says not to do something, then don't. You don't have to be afraid to yield your life, because how many of you know he has a nature that can be trusted? I trust his word. I believe his word. I believe he wants the best for me. So it's not that hard to believe that if God's asking me to give something up, that it's for my good. If he wants to chisel something out of my life, Eli, remember that skit years ago, the chisel? Yeah, I almost had you learn that, but I decided not to. If he wants to chisel something out of my life, who am I to say that stays? Amen? Because I trust his nature. I trust him. And can you put that next picture up for me, please? I like this picture. You've probably seen it on Facebook before. But it's like the little girl, and she has that little teddy bear. And she's like, but I love it. And Jesus is there saying, trust me, and he's got the big teddy bear. Right? That's who he is. If he's asking you to remove something from your life, do you not think he has something better? Do you not think it's something that will help you grow and help you achieve teleos, your purpose, the plan he has for you? You can trust him. Amen? You can trust him. So sanctification is holiness. Sanctification is a yielded life. And lastly, sanctification is imitation. I think this one's my favorite. Ephesians 5:1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Imitate God. Copy God. There should be a resemblance when it comes to the church of Jesus, right? There should be something about us that's different than the rest of the world. We should be imitating God. If you could throw up that next picture. These are my cute little guys. They're not so little anymore, but they are cute. And they love me. I'll tell you what. When we're up first thing in the morning, they're like on the couch next to me. They want to snuggle. They want to tell me everything. Tell me this, tell me that. They love me, but do you know who they want to be like? That guy back there. They want to be like their dad. And they think the world of him, and everything he does is funny and cool. And I love that. I'm not jealous of that. I mean, he's a great dad. But it is funny because even last year, as I was giving them haircuts, I give them haircuts to save a few bucks here and there. But every time I would go to give them a haircut, they would beg me to take it all off. Beg me, take it all off. We want to be bald like dad. We want to look just like dad. And I'm like, you're beautiful hair. I mean, look at their hair. They're not there yet. I love it. And I've refused because I think I like their hair. But they want to be like their dad. They want to look just like him. They want to act like him. They want to be funny like him. And I think this is something that the church could do better at, is imitating God. Nikki Gumbel said, churches are not museums that display perfect people. Why do we gather here? It's not to do that. They are hospitals where the wounded, hurt, injured, and find healing. So we're not to be like him, to be on display, or feel good about ourselves or anything like that. We are to be like him to accomplish his will on earth. Teleos, purpose. I'll tell you what, the greatest compliment I have ever gotten was not about my leading worship, my voice, my hair, my outfit, my cute little family. It wasn't even something that I provided. It was something that I like directed resources towards. Libby, you know a lot about this. Somebody told me there was some food available and I helped this family that needed it get it. And that's all I did, was redirect resources. And I had almost pretty much a complete stranger. I knew her name, but she texted me and said that she saw Jesus in me. And I thought to myself, you know what? I haven't really heard that much in my life. And maybe you haven't heard that much in your life, but I think it's something that we need to strive for. That people wouldn't be like, oh, you're anointed. That was a really good sermon. That was really good worship. That was really good this. That was really good that. No, you just look like Jesus. You look like your father. You're acting like him. You're copying him. You're imitating him. That's powerful and precious. Why is that not one of our greatest goals as the bride of Christ? Because I'll tell you what, churches are sometimes turning people away and turning people off. But if we imitated Christ, he was irresistible. There was something about him. There was something different about him where he brought freedom and the religious leaders of the day brought condemnation and they brought shame and they brought guilt. But there's something different about Jesus. If we imitate him, church, this church would be full. Every church would be full. Amen? So Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Copy Jesus. Imitate Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. What did Jesus spend his time doing? Shout out an answer. Help me out. Serving, healing, loving, preaching, praying, delivering, forgiving. I didn't hear what you said. Spent time with the Father, forgiving, miracles, seeking and saving. How about destroying the works of the devil, right? That's what Jesus spent his time on earth doing. What did the disciples do? The same thing, right? He gave them the ability to do the same thing, to preach, to teach, to love, to heal, to seek and save, to destroy the works of the devil. And one more question, what should we be doing? The same things. The same things. It really, really is that simple. It's so much less about personality and giftings, and it's more about imitating Christ. John 14:12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Matthew 10:7-8, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, cast out demons, give what you have freely. You received it freely, so give it freely. Amen? We have made ministry about certificates and education and giftings and personality, and certainly those can be aspects, I guess, but I think they're all overshadowed by the call and the command to imitate Christ, which extends to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. It's the impact of imitation. It's powerful. If we could have, I'm wrapping up here, if we could have somebody come and play. I just want this to be a checkup time for us. How are we doing? Have you been skipping those checkups? You know, they call you and try and schedule something and you let it go to voicemail and soon a month has gone by, a couple months. Have you taken time to reflect on your spiritual health and the ongoing transformation in your life? Is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords truly allowed to have a say in what stays and what goes in our lives? These are serious questions. These are sobering questions. Are you yielding to his refining touch, allowing him to shape you into the person he has called you to be? Are you teleos? Are you complete in him? Are you lacking nothing? Are you perfect in him? Are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you imitating him? Are you living a life that reflects his holiness, his love, his power? I don't want to be a powerless Christian. I want to be able to do the things he told me to do. I want to imitate him. May we always strive to be nearer to the one who is constantly transforming us by his power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not a works thing. This is not a try to be good enough thing. This is not a stay in line kind of a thing. This is fruit of the Spirit. This is the product of a Spirit-led life. This is the product of a Spirit-filled life. This is a result of connection. Chris, if you could come up and be with me for a moment? This is about connection. This is about abiding. And I believe that he will make these things more effortless for us. Yes, we have a part in it. Yes, there is that human responsibility. But it becomes so much easier when you're connected. Not a Sunday morning kind of connection, not a Tuesday night kind of connection, and every moment, every breath, every moment, every breath kind of connection where I need him more than I need that next breath, more than the air that I breathe. We're so good at doing it on our own, but he has a better way. If you could just bow your heads with me this morning. Lord, we want that better way. We want to be teleos in you. We want to be complete in you. We want to be perfect in you, mature in you, lacking nothing, fulfilling purpose, advancing the kingdom. And holiness is a part of it, and yieldedness is a part of it, and imitation is a part of it. We want to be sanctified by you, Jesus. If you need to make an adjustment in our lives, Lord, here we are this morning. Here we are this morning. You have access. You have permission, God. And we just thank you, Lord, that he who began a good work in us will carry it out until completion. If you're here today and you're like not really understanding the work that he wants to do in your life, maybe you haven't even committed your life to the Lord yet, but you want to, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I would just ask that you would raise your hand so we could pray for you this morning. Today could be that first day where you get your glasses. That first day where everything becomes clear. You were lost and now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. That could be today for you. If you would just raise your hand in this room, if that's you. Thank you. I see that hand. Lord, we just thank you for this life. If there are others, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day, God, for spiritual eyes to be open, Lord, and we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross for our sins. Sin is serious, God. You defeated it on the cross, Lord, and you rose again, and you went to heaven and sent your Holy Spirit to be in each and every one of us, Lord. So we just thank you right now that this life is transformed for the first time. And if that's not you, and you have already dedicated your life to the Lord, but you realize, you know what? I've stopped allowing the Lord to chisel in my life. I've stopped allowing the potter to work. I've taken myself off of that wheel. I'm the plate that was carried away before it was finished. I've not allowed the Lord to speak into my life. I've not allowed him to correct me. What does the word say? He corrects those whom he loves. It's not for the sake of correcting. I don't really like correcting my kids. It's so that he can achieve his purpose in you. He doesn't want anything to stop that. If that's you today, I would ask that you would maybe come forward and pray. I've asked Chris up here because we're going to pray together. This is either an individual thing or maybe families can come together and pray. Lord, we don't want to compartmentalize our lives anymore, God. We want you to be Lord of all, King of all, God. Every aspect surrendered, every single aspect. Come forward if you would like to make that change in your life today and just renew your life to him and what he wants to do with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We surrender anew today, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Or maybe you're struggling to imitate him. Maybe you've been afraid of that kind of power working through you. And you're like, I could never heal the sick. I could never raise the dead. I could never preach the gospel. My personality is not one that easily does that. It is so not about that. It's about His Holy Spirit working in us and through us. This man beside me is an introvert, but I have been amazed how he's let God work in his life and how he's let God use him for His glory. If that's you today, would you come forward? This is just a time of yielding. This is just a checkup. This is just a time where we recognize that maybe we've been stopping God. Maybe we haven't been allowing Him to do what He wants to do. And maybe our surrender doesn't really match up with the songs we sing and the words we say. And there's a resistance there. Lord, tear that resistance down in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Your life is already filling a metaphorical pulpit every day. Your life is preaching a sermon all the time, whether you know it or not. And I just want to challenge you today, what sermon are people hearing when they look at your life? I want to live a powerful, Spirit-led life. I don't want religion. I want to be sanctified. I want to be transformed into the image of His dear Son. One more time, if that's you, come today. Come lay it down. Come yield. Come surrender. And I believe we're going to see people's lives changed as we are changed. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. You are so good. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come today and we just thank you. We thank you that we're your children, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can be transformed from glory to glory into your likeness. God, we'll never be you, but we can be like you as you empower us through the Holy Spirit, as we live through you, as we abide in you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We recognize that we have done things in our own strength, that we have leaned on our own understanding. And we just thank you that today that is changing. That we're going to abide in you, Lord. We're going to lean on you again. We want the Spirit of God to reign in this house, in our lives, in our families, in our thought lives, Lord. Everything, every room. It's yours. Just say it's yours. Hold up your hands to the Lord and invite Him. Invite Him to change you. Invite Him to make the adjustments necessary so that you can be teleos, fulfilling your purpose in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We surrender, God. We yield, Lord, to your process, to your plans. Forgive us, God, for complacency. Forgive us for stagnation, God. And make us more like you. Sanctify us today. Make us holy. Make us effective. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Feel free to just spend time around the altar today if you're here. Thank you, Jesus.
I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to.
Sing that out.
I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to.
Every heart.
I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. And shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Oh, your way is better. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you. Making room to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. Whatever you want to.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this journey that we're on, God. Thank you for how far we've come in you, but thank you that there's more. There's deeper depths. There's higher heights. There's mysteries of God that we long to know. We long to know you, God. We long to be transformed by you, by your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that today things are changing, God, that chains that have been there are falling off, that scales that have been there on people's eyes are falling off, Lord. As we turn to you, as we fix our eyes on you, God, that you'll change our land, you'll heal our land, God. You'll heal us, Lord. You'll heal families and marriages and all the things that are happening, Lord, that we don't even know about in this room. Lord, we pray that you would make the necessary adjustments, God, and that we would see fruit. We would see change. We would see transformations, God. We need that divine grace, but we also need that human responsibility. And we yield. We say yes to what you have for us as a church. As a church that wants what Jesus wants, we say yes to what you have. We yield and we surrender and we repent for doing it our way. Thank you, Lord. You are so good to us. Bless your people today, God. Bless them as they leave this place, Lord, that they would not compartmentalize their lives, Lord, but the power and the presence of Jesus would be with them everywhere they go, from school to work to family situations, to their thought life, their habits, everything, God, would be touched and ruled by you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that today is the day that you have made. We just thank you for the prayers you're going to answer, God. For the testimonies that will come forth just from us yielding, just from us surrendering to what you have for us, Lord. Refine us. Make us like you. Make your church like you. Make us the beautiful bride of Christ, without spot, without wrinkle, powerful, and relevant in this world that needs you so desperately, God. Jesus is relevant. His power to heal, his power to deliver, to transform, to save from sin, he is still relevant. As much as they try and push him away, we need to bring the kingdom, church. We need to look like him. So we say yes, Lord, to what you have for us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, bless your people, God. Bless them. They are ministers. They have a pulpit. They have influence. Let us make sure we're preaching the best sermon we can with our lives, Lord. As people watch the goodness of God in our lives, as people watch the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, it's you at work. It's you at work. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.